Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind.
And we're joined today on The Scoop by Dan Slabov on the prowl. Dan, happy Friday.
Thanks, Seth. It's been a good week. Nice weather outside. Can't ask for much more. Just because of how nice it's been this week, it's been instantly the best week in winter so far for me. I missed that sun, and the sun has been out in 30-plus degree weather almost all week. So that's definitely good to see, and it makes me realize that the Major League Baseball season is just on the horizon, even though it may not seem like it with how dead the offseason has been so far. But good weather brings happiness to me, and that's definitely what we've got so far this week in Fargo.
Yeah, it's been nice to have those decent temperatures so that you can actually be outside without feeling like you're going to freeze. And nonetheless, it's been a cold off season for Major League Baseball so far, but that will kick up, I'm sure, in a little bit. And just glad to have a little bit of basketball coverage here to break up what has been pretty much wall-to-wall Vikings here on The Scoop. So let's go right to it. We'll start off by taking a look at how the Wolves have done over the last week. They have had a tricky schedule. They finished off a five-game homestand with wins against the New York Knicks and the Portland Trail Blazers. But we've seen, Dan, Tuesday and Thursday, a loss at Orlando 108-102. And then they lost last night to Houston 116-98. Give us your recap of how things have gone for the Wolves here over the past week.
Well, obviously they finished the homestand out well, and they defeated Portland Sunday night. But then, you know, they went to Orlando on Tuesday night and played a team that only had won one out of their last 17 games and lost there. And so that was a pretty poor loss to the Timberwolves. Watching that game, I was really, really hesitant on trying to make, you know, knee-jerk reactions, because obviously the team was 29 and 16 going into the game, and they have just won five straight. And I think that while it is a bad loss, I think it's important to take more out of the good games than the bad games so far. I think the Timberwolves have shown they're a good team. You know, we're not sure if they're an elite team or a premier team, but they're a good team. And even with the Orlando loss, I didn't want my opinion to alter too much, considering how much has went right for the Timberwolves. Overall, it was a really poor loss in Orlando. And then last night in Houston, it just showed why the Timberwolves, you know, need to take advantage of games versus low-tier teams like the Magic. And the Wolves haven't really done that this year. I think the schedule, so far to this point, the Wolves have shown that no matter the quality of their opponent, it won't matter of the outcome that particular night, because they've lost to, you know, the Wizards at home without, John Wall-less Wizards, and then they go on the road the next night and handily defeat New Orleans. And so it's very interesting. It's kind of a weird year. Obviously, the Wolves have played exceptionally well versus the West this year. They're 23-7 versus the West after last night's loss, which is they have more wins than anybody in the West versus the West so far, even more than Golden State. So they have been excelling versus the West. But last night, you could just tell there was definitely two tiers of basketball teams on the court. The Wolves are just the Rockets are just a bad matchup for the Wolves right now. As we speak, I think there's just the next step for the Wolves, obviously, is to make the playoffs. And of course, with how well they've played, a top three seed or top four seed is definitely in reach, and it's definitely something realistic to strive for. But you can tell that we still lack the recipe to be an elite team. Like, you know, I'm talking top three, top four team in the NBA, consistently with our lack of perimeter shooting, which is, you know, which was really shown last night. And it shows when we play teams like Golden State and Houston. Those two teams in particular are terrible matchups for the Wolves, because the Wolves, like, they do a great job at getting to the line, and their strengths are legit. They got to the line, they attacked the rim, and they're a really efficient offense. But when they play teams like Houston and Golden State, much like any team in the NBA, they struggle defending the perimeter, and they just have a tough time keeping up with teams like that, because they don't shoot a ton of threes, and the other teams the other teams are shooting a ton of threes and making a ton of threes. And Harden didn't really have a great game last night, and they still handled Minnesota. Minnesota didn't play poorly; they lost by 18, but it was in somewhat reach the entire game. It didn't ever get out of hand. The Wolves would, you know, be down by 16 and then, you know, bring it down to 8 or 9, and then the Rockets would go on another 5-6 all run, and then the Wolves would get it back down to an 8-point deficit. So, yeah, it was definitely a game where, you know, you can see that the Wolves still have a little ways to go to reach the premier tier in the NBA. Obviously, can't complain with how things have went so far this year, and with Kawhi Leonard being out indefinitely now for the Spurs, that really opens the door for a top three seed in the West Western Conference playoffs. So, two game losing streak, but still a bright sign ahead for the Wolves.
I think John Krasinski of The Athletic had the best nugget from the Wolves Rockets game last night, and I believe this is how the numbers broke down, but I'm not entirely sure. I was trying to dig up that tweet, couldn't find it. The Rockets, I think, have hit 10 three-pointers in 39 consecutive games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he said the Timberwolves have hit 10 three-pointers in a game 39 times in the last 9 years, I think, is how that broke down. So, yeah, it just, like you said, I like that take that it's a bad matchup for the Wolves, but could be an interesting playoff series if it gets to that point later on this year. Look into what the Wolves have coming up next. They will host the Toronto Raptors coming up tomorrow, and it will be interesting to see Toronto come to the Target Center. First look at the Raptors, and they were a team that was looked at as, and I know when we even did our preview before the season started, we weren't really sure what to expect with Toronto. Yet here they sit, 30-13. They are second in the Atlantic Division, just 2.5 games behind Boston. And they really have been playing some good basketball. This is going to be a tough matchup for the Wolves, despite it being at the Target Center.
Oh, yeah. Toronto has a record of 30-13, and they're on the brink of title contention. That, you know, might be a hot take, but in an Eastern Conference where, you know, the Cavs are struggling right now, and while they're still the top dog and the pick to win the Eastern Conference because they have the best player in the world, it's not a given like it has been in the past 3 years. I think it's a little bit more open. Toronto and Boston have a greater chance at knocking Cleveland off this year. We'll see how that plays out. But DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry have been phenomenal. Their entire offensive system has changed. They weren't you know, big on shooting a ton of threes, in past years, but they've really implemented a new system over there. And DeMar DeRozan has taken on a new game because he's shooting a lot more threes, and in the past, he's kind of been a, you know, like a gold standard of Andrew Wiggins, where he would get to the rim at a high rate, finish, and then he would shoot a lot of mid-range jump shots. And while he was good at that, it's not the most efficient way to play basketball. You know, opposing defenses used to treat the Raptors like a Mandarin bear in the woods. They'd spring traps, clamp down on Toronto's very identity, and the results were they were inhumane. And then this season, to be any different for Toronto, I think a more deft approach to wriggling out of traps is going to be essential. And Toronto stars have successfully amped up their elusiveness. I think, DeRozan, his dish and dimes, his assist rate is the highest of his career right now, and their offense as a whole has coasted along. It's new and improved. And I think in the few instances in which opponents have tried to harken back the good old days of trapping the Raptors into shooting mid-range jump shots, DeRozan and, you know, the team have responded very well. And they have a 3-0 record versus Milwaukee in Cleveland this month. And so I think that's definitely, you know, it's a marker of the Raptors' growth. And they're just getting contributions from throughout the roster, such as OG Anunoby, who some people were high on in the draft and thought the Wolves should have taken at 16. And then, of course, they got C.J. Miles from in a sign-in trade with Indiana this summer. They have a really well-rounded team. They're top 10 offense in the NBA and a top 5 defense right now. So they're one of the top teams in the East, and it should be a fantastic matchup tomorrow in what should be a packed Target Center.
Dan, looking at what the Wolves have coming up before we talk next week, at the Clippers after the game tomorrow night, at the Clippers on Monday, at Portland on Wednesday, at Golden State on Thursday, not exactly an easy stretch for the Wolves on the road.
It is not. You just nailed it on the head. These few weeks are going to determine whether the Wolves are good or whether they are elite. And I think, you know, this is just my opinion, but I think if they go 1-4 or 2-3 in those games, that does not mean that they're not a good team. All those opponents are respectable opponents. The Raptors obviously playing phenomenal. The Clippers have been playing exceptionally well since Griffin has returned. The team is much better. And then it's never easy playing on the road in Portland. That arena always seems to get up for when the Timberwolves come to town. And then, of course, at Golden State, and then back at home versus Brooklyn to finish out the next 5-game stretch. So, obviously, looking at the schedule, if the Wolves can go 2-3 or 3-2, that would be a win. If they can do anything above that, that would be exceptional. And, you know, with the way the Wolves have been able to play against top-tier teams this season, you know, anything's possible. And, of course, like you wrote, Seth, in an article on The Prowl this week, after the Vikings Minneapolis miracle, the Wolves should be saying, why not us? And why can't it be their turn to make a promising run towards, you know, championship contender contention? And while that might not be this year, the Vikings Minneapolis miracle really proved that that was a turning point for their organization. And the Wolves 28-18 record so far, their 29-18 record so far this year has been a turning point. So we'll see what happens, but I'm excited because the Timberwolves they're playing really well this season.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun to see just some of the moments that they've had so far this year, and a playoff series win later on this season would certainly be a great way to put a stamp on this year. But we'll save all that playoff talk until we get to that point. We do have, though, the All-Star starters were just announced for the NBA, and the usual suspects are the ones that have been voted in. But an interesting wrinkle to the All-Star game this year, as it will not be East versus West. It will be LeBron versus Steph Curry, as those two captains will pick their rosters for the All-Star game this year. And I'll just go through the starters here quick, and then I'm going to get your thoughts, Dan, on this new way that the All-Star game is going to be played. In the Eastern Conference, LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Joel Embiid, Kyrie Irving, and DeMar DeRozan were voted the starters. In the West, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, Steph Curry, and James Harden were voted the starters. So it will be, again, like I said, it'll be LeBron versus Steph Curry. Do you like the change to the All-Star format, Dan?
So, Seth, bear with me on this. And sorry if I put you on the spot, but I'm a little confused because, as we see, LeBron and Curry are the captains, and the press has released that there's Eastern Conference starters and Western Conference starters. So are there starters for each conference in place, and then they'll pick the remaining players for the bench, or will the starters be starting no matter what, but but it's up for grabs which conference they start? Do you know how that works, Seth?
Yeah, I've got the info right here. I was kind of scanning that as well. In the new format, James and Curry will choose their teams without regard for conference affiliation from the pool of starters and reserves. So basically, it's free game. They can pick who they want to. It sounds like James and Curry's first four selections must come from the pool of starters, and LeBron will have the first pick because he had a higher overall voting total than Curry.
Very interesting. Okay, so yeah, so definitely sounds like the starters have, obviously, that's their automatic bid into the game, and then the reserves are sort of up for grabs once the players and coaches decide. Okay, yeah, well, obviously, the format is going to be, it should be fun. I think when Kyrie Irving could be lobbying alley-oops to LeBron James again, so that could be something interesting. We could see there's an endless amount of possibilities, and for fans who have wanted to watch this player match up with this player on the same team, you know, maybe something like trying to think of a point guard, you know, Russell Westbrook and LeBron James, or Russell Westbrook and Giannis Antetokounmpo, run the floor in transition, probably the two best transition scorers in the league. If fans want to see those two run the court on the same team, they might have the opportunity to see so and the All-Star night. And that's the fun wrinkle of the All-Star weekend. But overall, obviously, very important to me that Jimmy Butler and Karl Anthony Towns are playing in that game. Jimmy Butler is for sure, lock, I think. And Karl Anthony Towns is right behind. And if Karl Towns doesn't make the All-Star game, it's going to ruffle a lot of people's feathers, because he's been phenomenal this season. And especially after Joel Embiid decided to roast him on Instagram, his defense has been elite. And so Karl Towns deserved to be in that game, and if he's not selected as part of one of those two teams, then that'd be a shame. And for the first time in a while, the Wolves should have two All-Stars represented from Minnesota. So I'm excited to see how it plays out. And obviously, as we've seen, or as we just saw, and that fan voting is still a very flawed method, considering that players such as Lonzo Ball and Manu Ginobili can finish above Jimmy Butler and Damian Lillard. So the fan voting method is still extremely flawed, and until they change that, fans are going to keep complaining. It's definitely a situation where it's expected to me, because, there are more Lakers fans than the Wolves fans, and fans don't vote with their, you know, most fans don't vote off players' performance. They vote with just their pure fandom. So therefore, why would, you know, Lonzo Ball not get more votes than Jimmy Butler if fans are voting with their fandom, which is, you know, it's ludicrous, but, I mean, it should be expected. So unless they change it, it's going to be a never-ending year after year complaining from the fans. So we'll see how it bears out in the future, but it should be a fun week in the All-Star game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the thing that you do to appease things with voting is you let media, coaches, and players vote on who should be in the All-Star game, and then let the fans vote on who should start. Something like that, just to give them something that they can be a part of the process with. But man, you look at the voting, and I don't know how the final voting ended up turning out, but at one point, Lonzo Ball had almost three times the votes of Jimmy Butler, and it just, it's one of those things. It makes you shake your head. So we'll see if they get it righted, but for now, we'll just wait and see if the Wolves get a couple of players in. Dan, as we wrap up here today, I know you mentioned the piece that I put together for On the Prowl in regards to just kind of reacting to the Minneapolis Miracle and how that could help the Timberwolves create one of their own. Anything else that listeners can look at over at On the Prowl here this week?
Yeah, so I think one of our writers, Jonas Sprinkle, is going to take a look at how Tom Thibodeau has approached the trade deadline in his time in Chicago and how he did last year. And he's going to try to make a hypothesis or prediction based off of the past and try to predict what Sibs may do during this trade deadline, if he's going to try to add some wing depth, or if he is just going to strictly work with the team he's assembled and put together this past off season. So that should be a nice piece out on the Prowl, and be sure to check it out.
Outstanding, Dan. Great stuff again here today. We'll see if the Wolves can get through this tough stretch and get some confidence back after a couple of losses. Regardless of how it all plays out, though, we will break it all down with you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, Seth.